Okay, so we're going to be talking today about the chapter called Some of the Problems of Life and How We Should View Things. And as I said in the little message I sent out on the mailing list, the teaser or the spoiler was maybe we shouldn't be viewing them. If we're focused on the problems, we're gonna have a problem. And so I went through the chapter, and I picked out some pieces of it that felt like they were the most important ideas. So there's a sentence from here and a sentence from there, and he did a lot of explaining in the middle that I thought we maybe didn't need to spend so much time on. So I have slightly paraphrased his pronouns and places, and I've skipped from sentence to make it what felt more coherent to me. So my apologies to Ernest Holmes, but this was the way I could understand it best. And Ernest said, "Unity is the basis of all that there is. The foundation of most of our troubles is that we're separating ourselves from our good. All the trouble with any of us is that we're not viewing life from the standpoint of the absolute, from the standpoint of eternity." And I brought, as I often do, a handout on the map of human consciousness that I adapted from David Hawkins with some additional information from Bruce Lipton, and a couple of things that I threw in there that seemed really fun to me. And when I had a conversation with somebody about the golden rule actually this week, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, he reminded me that there's also a platinum rule: I want for you what you want for you, which is a higher level thinking than just you ought to want what I want. But I remembered that there was a third rule that was an even higher rule, but I couldn't remember what it was. And fortunately, I have a gazillion documents on my computer, and I had to go through a half a gazillion to find it. But I found this handout that had the other one. And the rule for the mystical nature is, what I do to you, I do to me, because we are one. And remembering, building that consciousness of the one is what this chapter is about. It's about remembering that it's all God, and all of the life is one life, and we are that divine expression, and so is everyone else. I have a little sign in my house that says, "You are unique, just like everyone else."
That's funny.
So we want to stay humble. We don't want to exalt ourselves over everyone else, because everybody else is God expressing too. But we want to focus on that which is expansive. And if you look at this chart, it shows the body chemistry changes as your way of approaching life changes. And so in the lower 200 on the scale, from 20 of shame to anger, it is called a catabolic state in the body, which is destructive of health. And that's where there's conflict between the mind and the heart and the body. And you have an adrenaline-based metabolism. In shame and grief and fear, it's usually flight. In anger and revenge, it's usually fight. And so in the shame, grief, fear area, the rule number one is run. Get the heck out of there. And when you get to fear, to revenge and anger, it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's get back and blame. But when you move to the level of courage, then your body chemistry changes and you become into a state that is a neutral state, not endorphin adrenaline based. It becomes more neutral and you have an increased capacity for sensitivity. Your neuroreceptors and your neurotransmitters increase in their capacity, and your forebrain begins to develop as your heart becomes more coherent. So as you experience non-judgment and willingness and acceptance and understanding, then your body becomes more sensitive, and the more sensitive your body and your forebrain become, the more capacity you have to move into reason and understanding, then compassion and love and caring and respect for others. And the rule number one there is the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then when you get to 500 and unconditional love, it becomes, I want for you what you want for you. Ultimately, then, there is level of 600, which is the level of peace of mind and a deep sense of ease in life. And the way you experience that can be reverence and bliss. And this becomes an endorphin-based metabolism. All of a sudden, the body becomes an endorphin chemical factory instead of an adrenaline chemical factory. And more changes can take place in the brain in response to this experience. And the way it can be experienced is by this more expansive rule: what I do to you, I do to me, because we are one. And I really liked that as I looked at this chart the day I developed it, I realized that the adrenaline-based metabolism motto is fight or flight. The middle level neutrality, moving into love, is tend and befriend. That's what they talk about women with children and parents who have this consciousness of nurturing. And that's the way.
Say that again.
Tend and befriend.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So that when they describe the way cultures developed over time, the cultures that were warrior cultures were fight or flight cultures. The few cultures that were mostly women led and community nurturing were based on gather the children and make friends with all of the people in your community and the people around you. And so not easy to do that necessarily if you've got a warrior group next door. So there's always the challenge of how you accomplish that. Yes?
It sounds like the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Uh-huh. You bet. Good insight. And the 600 to 1,000, the is the mystical nature, and the phrase that came to me about that is melt into bliss. It's when you simply allow yourself to relax deeply into the consciousness of the One, and to allow that to be your inspiration for life. And so when I looked at this chart, given that I'd forgotten part of it, I was really excited by it. So I thought I would bring it back and pass it by you guys again, because I think there's some really good stuff in there. And when I looked at the mottos particularly, I was kind of patting myself on the back. That was something I added that I thought was valuable. I have utter respect for David Hawkins and Bruce Lipton and all of the information they provided, but bringing it into the personal feeling about it for me was helpful. So, and as I thought about that first quote that I told you about, all the trouble with any of us from Holmes, all the trouble with any of us is that we're not viewing life from the standpoint of the absolute, from the standpoint of eternity. I was reminded by something that a Science of Mind minister named Margaret Stort said in Science of Mind magazine once. She said, "We impress the finite on the infinite." And she was writing about it from a woe is me perspective. Isn't it awful that we impress the finite on the infinite? But when I read it, I thought, wow, that's the greatest statement of the power of the mind that I've ever heard. We impress the finite on the infinite. It shocked me when I realized that I looked at it as the exact opposite of the way she was looking at it and writing about it, because it seemed to me to open all of these possibilities that I might not have thought of otherwise. And I was reminded of that with this next quote from the chapter. Holmes said, "We appear to be limited. As a matter of fact, we are so limitless in our nature that the very limitlessness is compelled to answer the demand of our thought." So isn't that saying the same thing as we impress the finite on the infinite? The limitlessness, the infinite, is controlled by our limitedness. And when we think limited, limited shows up. When we think sickness, we get sick. When we think resistance, we get stuff we don't like very much. But when we think expansiveness, we attract tooth pillows on the day the tooth gets loose. And that's what living in love is all about. Holmes went on to say, "You will find in the very law that makes you sick the only possible emancipation." Because the law is neutral. If you put out thoughts of resistance and anger and fear, you attract back more like that in your life. But as you learn to focus your mind, as Sherry said so powerfully earlier, change your thinking, you have the opportunity to attract something different, and that's exciting. This morning, early on, my friend Jen Fay posted a spiritual mind treatment on the practitioner list that I thought I would share with you. So it really does address these same subjects in powerful ways. So I would invite you to close your eyes as you listen to it. It's kind of a meditation. As the source of life, spirit might refer to this thing called life as pure wonder, heart-pounding delight, tenderly sweet, inspiringly beautiful, and backed by amazing genius, which brings unimagined growth and evolution. Even from our own often limited human perspective, we do have the potential to catch this drift and run with it. Aligning with the truth, embodying our spiritual essence, aware of infinite possibilities, we choose to embrace rather than argue with the truth of spiritual principle as we follow the logic of science of mind as steadfastly as we follow our hearts, knowing they are linked. When we think things are unusual, isn't that the point? Each day is new, as we choose to express from our divine essence. Each of us is stretching into a truth beyond what feels usual and beyond what has ever been. It is from this awareness that what seems like miracles are revealed, for Spirit is right here, knowing the truth of divine resolution and reveling in being in form. I am grateful to witness the genius of Spirit being revealed with inspired ideas that make a difference and reveal a greater good yet to be realized as love, peace, joy, wholeness, wonder, wisdom, light, open hearts and minds, and sheer genius. I am thankful for those who follow their inner guidance into what may feel unusual and uncertain, trusting this sacred process of life. Releasing these ideas into law, the law responds to my anticipation. Ernest Holmes said, expectancy speeds progress. May we each expect our good to flow abundantly in our lives and in and as all of life. And so it is. I just love Jen. She's awesome. So that felt really good to me. And she addressed the very same things about we are limited, but we have this opportunity to cultivate the more expansive nature of who we are. And it's in that cultivation that allows us to change our lives. Holmes said, know that in our own thought there is a consciousness of love that is radiant and flows out to you all the time. If you do not have this yet, that consciousness of love, treat yourself until you get it. Treat yourself until you feel that inner sense of unity with everything and everybody. You must know that since there is but one mind, and the greatest impulse of that mind is love, you are love yourself. Isn't that beautiful? I got to read that again. You must know that since there is but one mind, and the greatest impulse of that mind is love, you are love yourself. He said, be positive about it. Be radical about it. Train yourself to think what you want to think, to feel as you want to feel, and to place no limit on principle. Principle is immutable and absolute. The word you speak is just as powerful as the word of God. Don't struggle over anything. Say, there is nothing to struggle over. Infinite intelligence is my intelligence. Divine love is my love. Limitless freedom is my freedom. Perfect joy is my gladness. Limitless life is my energy. If you speak the whole thing, it'll flow through you and can only flow through to the degree that we open the way. We have to open the way. It's not automatically opened for us, and we can resist it. We often do by focusing on what's wrong rather than focusing on what's right. But we can change that. We can remind ourselves that there's nothing to struggle over, and the limitless is ours. We are that. We are. So exciting. Abraham said, people say the joy is in the journey, but they rarely understand what they are saying. You are in this focused time-space reality with goals and objectives that call you, because as you identify a desire, it literally summons life through you. Life summoning through you is what it's all about. It's not about the completion of anything. So the opportunity to experience the journey as beautiful and divine and powerful and freeing is what we have before us at any moment. And sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. But we can remind ourselves to come back to that space. And Holmes suggested we practice. What a radical idea. Practice thinking expansive thoughts. And that is just such a great thing when we practice thinking expansive thoughts. And so there was a little meditation that Abraham Hicks had that I came across this week, of course, on that very subject. So let me share that with you. They said, law of attraction is responding to your thought, not your current reality. When you change the thought, your reality must follow suit. If things are going well for you, then focusing upon what is happening now will cause the well-being to continue. But if there are things happening now that are not pleasing, you must find a way of taking your attention away from those unwanted things. You have the ability to quickly change your pattern of thought and eventually your life experience. And then this is what they suggest as a practice. Take 15 minutes daily, thinking of pleasant scenarios regarding your body, with the sole intent of enjoying your body and appreciating its strength and stamina, flexibility and beauty. When you visualize for the joy of visualizing, rather than with the intention of correcting some deficiency, your thoughts are more pure and therefore more powerful. When you visualize to overcome something that is wrong, your thoughts are diluted with the lackful side of the equation. In time, your physical condition will acquiesce to your dominant thoughts. So Abraham is suggesting that we take 15 minutes a day to think pleasant scenarios. And they use the example of your body, but it could be pleasant scenarios about playing your music out in public, or writing songs that inspire you and inspire other people, or giving a talk at a community center or a study group where you impact other people and their lives. Or it could be having a child that you simply delight in and imagining good things for them and their lives and all the fun you're going to have as you do various things together in the next few weeks. All of the things that we can imagine are open to us. We can allow our minds to think more expansively. And we can notice in those moments when we have a thought that feels like a glitch. And I had this experience this week. I had a thought that really set me back. I don't even want to share it. I don't want to expand it anymore. I don't want to talk about it. But I had a thought that I didn't deserve what I wanted. And it really captured my attention. And I thought, I need to rethink that. I need to see my life from a broader perspective. I need to remember the value of who I am and that it doesn't need to be compared with the value or gifts of anyone else. I have my own, as we all do, my own constellation of gifts. And it's perfect for who I am and where I am. And my life will unfold as I remember the truth of my being. And I had to practice this week to shift my energy. But man, did I feel so much better once I did. The practice made such a difference. And it's such a joy to just remember, oh, yeah, I'm good. In fact, I'm amazing. And so is everyone else. And as we allow ourselves to feel that kindness toward ourselves, we often practice kindness toward other people. But sometimes I know I forget to practice kindness toward myself. I do something that's kind of stupid and I blame myself and I beat myself up. And I don't need to do that. I can look at myself through the eyes of Source, through the eyes that are always loving. Just as we have the opportunity to look at other people with unconditional love, we can learn to look at ourselves with unconditional love. So that's what I'm recommending today, that we look at ourselves with unconditional love. And in the second half, what I want to do is do the meditation that Abraham recommended of taking 15 minutes and thinking of pleasant scenarios regarding life, regarding our bodies and our relationships and our opportunities and the doors opening for us. I never know when I start a meditation exactly where it's going to go, so it will be a surprise to me as well where it takes us. But that's what we're going to do in the second half. And I really appreciate that you guys showed up and gave me the opportunity to do this talk today, because it made me practice this week. And I needed to do that. So thanks again.
Thank you.